When I was 16, so going back to when I was 16, David Bowie was suddenly all over the place, and he used the word bisexual, and I thought, okay, that's what I am. Because previously I'd heard the word lesbian, and I thought, I don't think so. But bisexual seemed to apply to me, so I used that kind of, well, I've used it ever since, and so that was, I think that was 1973-ish, and I'm ever since, literally ever since then, I've considered myself bisexual, with maybe a couple of months when I call myself, 6 months, I call myself a lesbian. But we'll come back to that later. So when I was in the sixth form, there was a kind of group of boys I used to hang out with, and they also had heard that David Bowie was bisexual, and they were experimenting with each other. And I told my then boyfriend, who was one of them, that one of the boys was experimenting, that I was bisexual, and he wouldn't believe me. He said that I was trying to make him jealous, which actually never occurred to me. And so, where am I?
At school.
Yeah, okay, no, just, yeah, I was suddenly just thinking back to that, so. I did nothing about it. In fact, I left school, so this was 1976, or possibly the end of 1975. I left school and I joined a social club called London Village, which was just a kind of like, a bit like a kind of 70s version of meetup. And I met a guy there who was, he was 15 years older than me. And he took me to gay clubs in Earl's Court. I didn't know when we started going out together that he was bisexual. I mean, properly, committedly, over many years bisexual, rather than the boys that I knew when I was at school. And he'd been married, but say he was 34, I think, at that point. He was 34, he was divorced, and he'd kind of had relationships with, well, sex probably, rather than relationships, with lots and lots of men. And he took me to the Boltons, which was a, now I suppose you'd call it a queer club. At least you would go, as someone reminded me when I was telling them about this recently, you would go upstairs to a kind of secret place. And there was nothing kind of, it wasn't like there was sex happening or anything, but it was just where you would only go there if you knew. And you kind of like make an entrance, and there were all sorts of people there. There were kind of drag queens, trans people, butch lesbians, and ostensibly heterosexual couples looking for somebody else. It was completely, I absolutely blew my mind. I thought it was the most exciting thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Was it in Earl's Court?
Yes, that's right. Oh, it's. I think it's called the Boltons again now. It was an O'Neill's for a long while. So it hasn't been a gay pub for, I don't know, since 1980 maybe. And we also went to the Colhern, which was a leather pub. And I was quite innocent. I didn't really know what was going on. But they were so nice to me, the men. They were really kind. And also they were very flirty. So they were really flirty with me. And I could kind of see I don't know, something was going on. But I didn't really know what.
Now, did he take you there as his partner? Or?
Oh, yeah, I was his girlfriend.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I think, so this was like in the mid, 75, 76, 77. I think at that point, you see, everything was a lot more fluid than it was 10 years later. I mean, this is certainly my memory of it, because we would, so another place that we went to several times was the Porchester Hall Drag Balls.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, so this was, 76-ish.
Tell me about those.
Okay, so it was kind of mainly kind of men, not just in drag, and men in very flamboyant drag, like ball gowns. So I had a 1930s beaded dress that I got. It's a beautiful dress, but it was kind of not in a good nick. And I used to wear, and I wore that. I got a really warm and friendly reception from the drag queens. for being, I don't know what. But anyway, I really had very happy memories of that. It was really, really good fun. And it was so different from what I perceived to be my very stultifyingly suburban life. I haven't mentioned that I did go to, that Kate and I did go to Gateways, and also with another woman.
Tell me about that.
Yes, another woman from Brighton. Well, we only went once, so it was right. It was right at the end. So we'd written to them. We'd heard they were a club, which would kind of made it sort of, I don't know. So it was kind of like both inaccessible and elitist, and also kind of excite, like obviously some kind of like glamorous excitement was happening there that we wanted in on. So we wrote to them. I think I've still got the letter somewhere, actually, asking if we could, we were coming out from Brighton for the weekend, could we go to Gateways? And they said, you know, yes. Also, I can't, yeah. But anyway, the upshot was yes. And we went there, and I remember kind of some kind of steep staircase. My memory is not, it's only the once. I remember the women being very glamorous. So I think I was definitely looking for kind of glamour. And also because I perceived that a lot of the lesbians that I knew, they were very kind of, they weren't dressed up at all. And this was a very kind of, very dressy and, yeah. Yeah. So you did feel like you kind of got in on some kind of secret society, and this was all very kind of good. But anyway, that was that. It closed not that long afterwards.
Oh, that's why you didn't go again.
Yes, it was that. Yeah, exactly. So it was really right at the end.
Right.
So that would have been, I don't know when that was, 80, 81, 82.
I don't know. Late, maybe.
Okay.
But 84, I think. I
okay, remember. Okay. So, but then you see, then at that point, I had no one to go with because I split up with Kate.
Ooh.
I was sitting out with my son's father. Now then, of course, you know, I was dead to the lesbian world.
Oh.
I mean, really. It was really, they would just cut me. They would cut me. So this wasn't the women that I was politically working with,
mm-hmm.
who, it wasn't them at all. It was kind of like the friends that I'd had from Brighton. So.
Ow.
Yeah, so that was kind of not nice. So
was there a debate or just a cutting off? I mean, did they want to talk to you about why?
No. It was obvious, you know, I'd kind of gone back to men. Sorry, I've been doing inverted kind of commas with my hands. I'd gone back to men. Well, this wasn't how I saw it, of course.
Mm.
But
how did you see it?
How did I saw it? See it? Well, that's very interesting. I'm not sure how I did see it. I'm not sure. I felt that kind of my relationship with Kate had kind of run its course, which is true. And he just happened to be around. But I did also want to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I was 26. I mean, you know, really, it's too. Anyway. I did want to have a baby. And I just thought that was an easy way to have a baby. And he thought he would like to have a baby with me. I mean, in retrospect, it's kind of really. I mean, we did have a relationship for some years, but it was not, there was no kind of, I would say, we weren't particularly emotionally committed to each other. I don't know. It's really hard to know, kind of looking back at it.
Mm.
He's a good father. I mean, I wouldn't want to say anything against him. He's been a great father.
But it took you away from the lesbians.
It did. It did. And kind of, sadly to my sadly, and I at that point so that was actually, it was that, I think it was 83, it was around about that, maybe 81, that time when that Leeds revolutionary feminist pamphlet came out. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. It's purple, the one which said that all women should be lesbians. It's very famous. So it's written by Sheila Jeffries was one of the writers.
Yes.
Also Al Garthwaite, because I knew Al Garthwaite later. So it was written by the Leeds Revolutionary Feminist Group. Yeah. Damn, I can't remember what it's called. And that did say, you know, all feminists should be lesbians. That's it. You should kind of get men out of your life and your body. It doesn't really matter whether you want to have sex with these women. You know, it's the withdrawing from the men that's the important thing.
The political feminism.
The political lesbianism. Yes, political lesbianism. Yes, political lesbianism.
But you were with a man by then. So yes. How did you feel when you saw that?
I didn't see that until I didn't read it until afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I knew that those ideas were kind of in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just didn't agree with it. I just thought it was wrong.
Mm.
You know, like when you're kind of politically involved, you see lots of kind of ideas that you think, oh, God, that's, yeah, no, just no. But still, I think that those attitudes had a big impact on many women who were around at that time who felt like they'd failed. So women who were not lesbians, not just bisexual women, but heterosexual women as well, mm-hmm. felt that they had failed because they were unable to do this, or yeah. And so, although I thought it was wrong, I can't say that it didn't have any impact on me. Yeah. But, so I used to get the London Women's Liberation newsletter, and in March 1984, I saw that a woman had was putting in a notice saying that she wanted to have, she wanted to set up a bisexual women's group, and that was that really. So I rung her up, I suppose that's, maybe I wrote her, I can't remember what you did in those days. Yeah, so I got in touch with her and I went to that. And that was the second London Women's Bisexual Group. There had been another one, but I think it had shut. And I only found out about this afterwards. But yeah, so there was a London, so we met at the Women's Centre in March, maybe Judd Street. It was in King's Cross anyway, or King's Cross, kind of like that area back. I think it was Judd Street. I can't remember. Anyway, so we met there maybe once a month.